Welcome to the Business Link podcast. We're here today in the AOI podcast studio with CEO and founder of the Rise Reentry Program, Jeremy Bowman. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course.
Glad to be here.
Excited to have you. I'm excited to talk to our listeners about your guys' program. So for those that may not know or be familiar with it, what is Rise and who exactly are you serving in the community?
Yeah, Rise is a Nebraska nonprofit with a mission to break generational cycles of incarceration. So our target client are people who are system impacted in our Nebraska prison system, but also families of people who have loved ones who are incarcerated, and even people who are system impacted that are back in the community that need support around workforce support, entrepreneurship, or just basic needs, as reentry can create a lot of barriers and challenges for people.
Yeah. What inspired the creation of Rise?
You know, I'm a longtime volunteer at the local jail and became very passionate about helping and seeing what role I could play with supporting system impacted people and seeing a lot of common themes where people were coming in and out of the system who were either unemployed or underemployed, and thinking, how can we help pre-release with planning, with job readiness training, and also using entrepreneurship as a tool, where a lot of people I met were very entrepreneurial and they had great business skills and said, hey, how can we take that skill set and put it into a legal context where if you really have a hard time creating your own, where you have a hard time getting employed because of your felony, but you have the ability to create your own job, how can we help you do that? So workforce development and entrepreneurial training really kind of felt like we hit on something there and thought, hey, how can we bring this into the Nebraska prison system and really have an inside out program where we help people while they're still incarcerated and then help them bridge back to the community with us as kind of a come alongside partner for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So what inspired you to take up the work, especially here in Nebraska?
I think we have a number of challenges that are unique to Nebraska. One is in terms of prison overcrowding. Nebraska is typically in the top one or two in the country in terms of how many people we have for capacity space. And if you're able to get more people out of the system and keep them out, that helps us as taxpayers based on everyone paying, for incarceration. We also have really low unemployment in Nebraska, and with the folks who are coming out, there's opportunities to plug people into the workforce that is helpful for our local economy, and competitive wage employment really is a difference maker in how successful somebody is when they come home. So the overcrowding, the opportunities to enter people into our workforce, and also just having such a compassionate, supportive community like Nebraska communities are.
Yeah.
And understanding that, hey, we're all in this together. If people reenter well, we have safer communities, public safety improves, our workforce is filled. I just think Nebraska's a unique place in how people help each other. And that has certainly been the case with our program. And we've brought over 1,500 people from Nebraska into the Nebraska prisons for volunteer opportunities and really connected people with the community. And those opportunities create empathy, and that leads to connections that might help with housing or jobs and just the types of supports that people need, it takes a village for people to be successful in reentry. I feel like Nebraska is uniquely suited just based on how Nebraskans are to do that here.
Yeah, that's fair. So walk us through what someone experiences when they go through the Rise Reentry Program.
Yeah, so in our prison system, in five facilities, we do a 7-8 month pre-release program. They come to a kickoff, and this is minimum, medium, maximum security for men, women, and youth. And so they come, they learn about the program. It's a real commitment. They do 15 to 20 hours a week of work on RISE programming. It's curriculum that we've created in support with system impacted people. So what do people really need to reenter and be successful? That's really what we're trying to teach and facilitate in people's own journeys and in their own learning. So First 3 months is called Foundations. They're doing a lot of what we call inside work, learning about accountability and how to deal with conflict and how to make a meaningful apology and what are self-defeating beliefs and what kinds of childhood issues are stopping them from being successful today. Just a lot of self-reflection, a lot of soft skills, just a lot of thinking, how are things going to be different when I come out this time? They do a 20-page reentry plan. We do Gallup strengths. We tell them what they're good at. We do workforce development and think about careers. And then we do an entrepreneurship part where everybody in the program puts together a business plan and pitch to a Shark Tank style pitch competition at the end of the program where we bring the community in to judge it. And they get a certificate in workforce readiness from University of Nebraska's Business School. And they also get some college credits from Southeast Community College. So our university system here in Lincoln's been really supportive, and they're doing kind of college level work to prepare themselves to come home. Once they graduate that pre-release program and they're 18 months to the door, we have reentry case managers that start walking out their reentry with them, figuring out where they're going to live, helping connect them to employment, working on family reunification. And then we pick people up at the gate. We give them a backpack of supplies and a phone. And typically 12 to 18 months after they get out, we're working really closely with them. And so that connection from incarceration to the community and saying, hey, you don't have to take this journey alone. We're going to be with you every step of the way and support you and hold each other accountable. It really makes a difference with people's success in terms of their own reentry.
I love that you focus on the mental health aspect as well, because I think that is a huge piece, especially when you're in there and you're watching your family go through this and all of that. Like, it's huge to work through that. So that's a big one. I like that.
We have, I would say, 60% of the people in our prison system are diagnosed with behavioral health issues. And the Nebraska Department of Corrections is the largest provider of mental health care in the state. And so that's a very real piece of what people are navigating as well, is when they return home, what is their clinical plan look like? What does their mental health diagnosis look like and med management? And we really find that helping people work with and have a good plan for their mental health when they come home is critical.
Yeah. Along those lines, what other barriers are you seeing or do you guys run into that they're typically working through overcoming?
There's a lot of barriers when you come home. There's 800 industries that just won't hire people with felony backgrounds. There are a lot of restrictions to accessing public housing if you have a felony. There's barriers to getting food stamps and SNAP benefits. Mm-hmm. So there's all of these often governmental hoops and barriers. When coming home is hard enough, when you're trying to reintegrate and beginning to make a living and trying to do right by your parole and your mental health. We have all of these other barriers that have been created that are like invisible handcuffs that really keep, the options and the opportunities minimal, less so than for just most people in the community. And so those barriers can pose some real challenges. And then I think as a community, we're surprised when people go back. And so we also work on legislative issues. We have a policy area where we're trying to remove some of those barriers that keep people from gaining access to housing and the types of supports they need to be successful when they get out.
Yeah. I mean, we are right in the middle of the legislative session right now. Are there any bills that you guys are specifically tracking?
Right now, there's a few bills that we're hoping bring more resources to reentry. There's some state money that goes to other organizations that support reentry that comes through the Department of Corrections. And we're looking to kind of increase that pool because, we know the state can't do it alone. And what organizations do once people leave state custody is equally as important to the success of their reentry.
Yeah.
So we're advocating for those resources. In recent years, we've worked on voting rights. We've worked on sentencing reform and have had some success there. but removing occupational licensing barriers for people who can't get certifications for certain jobs. Those are simple things where if we have jobs that can be filled by people with a family background and there's these hoops that are preventing them from doing so, we're trying to remove some of those hoops. And I think there's a real good business case for why simplifying reentry for people is a win for everyone.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And I really want to kind of hone in on and get to the heart of what you guys are trying to do. Can you tell me a story of a success story that really captured the impact of your work?
I think you can look at our team and see the impact of our work, where almost 70% of our staff are formerly incarcerated. We have about 140 years of prison time on the RISE staff. And
yeah.
So seeing people who graduate our program helping others with their reentry because they've navigated that on their own and they really know what through their lived experience and expertise what it takes to be successful is really powerful. And then seeing our staff go back into facilities and seeing people that they knew and those folks being able to look and say, wow, look what you're doing. Maybe I can do that. You know, maybe I can work with RISE or I can give back to the communities I've harmed when I get out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our things that we celebrate are little wins when people figure out how to navigate the bus to get to work. We've started over 90 companies in the last 4 years through our business academy. Seeing families have healing and rehabilitation in the family unit where we're reintegrating moms and dads with their kids. So many things like that that really touch to the humanity of the work we do. And you know, an example would be seeing someone who did 40 years in prison come home and be able to live on their own and reintegrate into the workplace and where technology has changed so much. Those types of examples, you know, we reintegrate between 100 and 150 people into our community every year.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of success that is really benefiting the Lincoln community from a workforce standpoint and also public safety. And, you know, healthy families equals a healthy community.
No, I agree. I agree. I feel like I have a lot more questions, but I do want to be cognizant of time.
Sure.
So two questions to final round it up. What's next for RISE? And how can listeners connect, volunteer, or partner with you?
We're looking really hard at what safe housing looks like for people.
Okay.
There's not enough safe housing when people get out of facilities. A lot of times they have to live in transitional housing. And that can be just for a short period of time. But having more permanent, sustainable housing options. So we're really working hard on what's RISE's role in supportive housing.
Okay.
We're also looking how to simplify reentry for people where we have more kind of one stops in the state where somebody can get out of a locked facility and go somewhere and get clinical help, get workforce development help, education pathways, case management. Right now, people get out, they don't have transportation, and they have to go all over our cities to get the services and the support they need. So what are the barriers we can remove by simplifying one-stop reentry, and how can we make a difference with reentry supportive housing? Those are things over the next few years, you're going to see RISE really leaning into those areas.
Makes sense. And how can the listeners connect, volunteer, or partner with you?
Yeah, we have an employment program. If you are looking for workforce, we'd love to talk to you. We do a lot to educate employers around what second chance hiring can look like for their business and partner very closely. Employers really, if they're going to think about second chance hiring, if they do it with RISE, that person has a case manager, and we can really be a partner with you on creating that employment opportunity. So getting people into competitive wage employment and careers is an area where the Lincoln community has been a good partner, and we'd love to continue adding more businesses and industries to hiring. We have lots of volunteer opportunities, lots of cool ways to bring you into prison and engage with our program, provide your expertise. get to know system impacted people. So we've got lots of cool coaching days and business pitch competitions you can participate in as a volunteer. We have online volunteer opportunities that you can do from your home. So lots of cool ways to plug you into the work we do. Our website is CSRISE, www.seeusrise.org, www.csrise.org. And as a nonprofit, if you want to support us at the upcoming Give to Lincoln Day, we'd love to have your support. I think we're a great investment, and the social ROI in the work we do really does impact in a positive way our Lincoln community.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jeremy, for joining us.
Thanks.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Business Link podcast. And join us next time.